And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo! Well, in there, my name is Philo Thibodeau Headbecker Kneecap, and I am a practitioner of the dark arts and crafts in Atchafalaya County. And it's been a couple weeks, but we got the generator going again, and the undead alligators are being held off by a perimeter vinegar-based barbecue sauce, which floats nicely on top of the water, but does sink down to about a depth of 4 to 5 feet, which is sufficient for disinclining them zombie alligators coming up here and making our lives difficult. So I wanted to give y'all another little entry here into this here Ask Philo thing podcast, I guess we're calling it now these days. Used to be we didn't have podcasts. We just have to stand up on top of the roof of the shack and just shout out into the wilderness. You know, say, oh, ping! And then another guy over here would shout back, ping, too! And if you had a packet loss, that meant, you know, Cletus fell off the roof again. But I digress. That's a conversation for a whole nother time. When we get into the whole semaphore thing and the time that Uncle Edward threw out his back trying to tell a joke in Latin. But that's, again, another thing entirely, which we will discuss at the appropriate moment. I have an actual Ask Philo. This got through. I'm very happy with the fine folks at the Postal Service who have apparently found folks who have high fortitude and a low sense of self-preservation, because this came through. It's a little chewed up. It's got some interesting stains on it, and it kind of smells like Tabasco sauce. But anyway, it's from a gentleman here by the name of Big Stevie, which would assume the existence of Little Stevie, and quite possibly a medium-sized Stevie, and maybe even a great big huge gigantic Stevie. But anyway, he says here, dear Philo, well, hello, Big Stevie. Thank you very much. I appreciate the sentiment. You have blessed us with the name of your county on every single one of these here broadcasts, and I'm just curious, as I'm certain many other people are, how do you spell that? Well, Big Stevie, it's pretty much spelled the way that it sounds, although sometimes it does get a little tricky when you get to the middle part there, especially with the glottals and the fricatives arguing with each other when you write it down. Now, a lot of people try to write it in neat block capitals, and that never goes very well. Most of the time, the pen just explodes in self-defense. However, we have discovered that if you're filling out any kind of legal documentation, the easiest way to go about it is when you get to the part where it says county, just beat the form with the tip of your felt tip pen 4 or 5 times, or maybe just spill some ink on it. Or one time we actually fell accidentally spelt knocked us over his RC Cola, and it put a stain right there on that spot, and it, I'd be darned if it didn't actually spell it perfectly. It was a really nice calligraphy too, very reminiscent of the flyleaf pages on some of J.R.R. Tolkien's books. And no, he was not one of us. He was very kind though. He did like to send baked goods and occasional notes, and give us some really, really amusing dirty jokes in Elvish. But that's neither here nor there anyway. And the interesting thing about the name of the county, though, honestly, aside from the fact that you do have to say it, as a wise man said, with a flourish, is that it's actually derived from the ancient Welsh, as are many of the folks here in the county itself. You see, much like the Acadians were chased down through North America from Canada down into Louisiana, well, the folks here in our county, they were initially kind of got their start somewhere around Iowa, I think it was, Iowa. Looking back in the ancient spiral-bound notebooks, which are getting a little tatty, and we have been trying to laminate them, but the laminating machine does not like that little metal spiral-bound ring thing, so we have to figure out a way to get around that. But that's, you know, that's for the guild meeting next week to cover that, and I think we might actually wind up having a break with tradition and, you know, write things down on a piece of paper that can be easily laminated and not have to tear all the little ears off the side when you pull it out of the spiral bound. Nope. Anyway, they were chased down from somewhere in the vicinity of Iowa or Idaho or one of them states that starts with an I, Indiana. That's one of them things. It's that particular part of the spiral bound notebook is actually a little more tattered and chewed on than usual because Grandma was just trying to look up some information, and she was apparently very frustrated by the fact that it was difficult to turn the pages when wearing those big old leather mittens that we give her so she doesn't try to claw our face off. So, you know, she got kind of angry, and when revenants get angry, they get all gnawy and chewy, and anyway, I get it. You know, anyway, from one of them states, it starts with an I. And so they were pursued angrily. Now, we actually we have some folks who do think they were actually angrily pursued all the way from Wales, but the spiral-bound notebook's a little sketchy on the detail there, especially the fact that it appears that the majority of the pursuit was, in fact, on foot. And I don't know if you've looked at a map or a globe lately, but there's a fair amount of water between the states here in the United States of America that start with an I and, you know, Wales. So, we figured that there was probably some poetic license in there, but they were pursued with great vigor and enthusiasm and a lot of yelling and screaming and things catching on fire, and eventually made their way down here to the county here in northern, and I cannot stress that enough, southeast Texas, and they named the place, and it actually is, it's a one of them fancy Welsh names. It translates to, hang on, there, yeah, there it is, the least soggy place we could find where they could not get to us. So that's a little bit of history there and background on the name of the county, and it does kind of inspire us to a certain degree of rugged individualism and complete disregard for the safety and well-being of other people, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. That seems to be pretty much par for the course these days. Mind you, we do have a few more standards because, you know, after all, necromancy does have, like, you know, guidelines and suggestions as what not to do, primarily because you don't want to, you want to emulate your ancestors, you don't want to emulate the charred and burnt parts of them. And I think that's a valuable lesson for all of us to remember as we move forward in these new challenging times. Speaking of challenging times, like I said last time around, we do have ourselves we used to call it a zombie problem, and now we call it a zombie situation because it's fairly manageable. We do have a fair number of zombies, don't know where they came from, they all kind of look similar to each other, and like I said, it might have been a accidental combination of a cloning accident and, you know, an Eldritch spiral-bound notebook left in the wrong place, and then suddenly we got all these lurching zombies all bearing a certain resemblance to each other, but not a resemblance to anybody here in the county, which is the part that bewilders the most here, because, I mean, you know, you figure that your average zombie's going to be homegrown. They don't actually ship in for zombie material, as it were. But anyway, so there, we got them going along. They're doing pretty well. We got our reanimated raccoons making coveralls and shoes for them. Of course, now since each of these zombies has one foot that's one size and one foot that's another size, we currently have a large number of shoes that are like one size for the left foot and one size for the right foot. And if you happen to know anybody who has a one or more left feet in a size 9 and one or more right feet in a size 12, please do let us know, because currently trying to run a little home-based business for the raccoon built made coveralls and odd shoe emporium. It's not getting as much traffic as we like, but we think that'll probably change once they get the freeway rebuilt again. freeway does keep flooding, but this time around it also flooded and caught on fire, and it's actually still burning, which is part of the problem, but we've got some people coming out with a whole bunch of propeller boats, and we plan to either extinguish the fire or blow it into another county where it is no longer our concern. Now, them zombies are actually pretty good, as we discovered. They're pretty good at some things. There's some innate skills in this these zombies were made with, and a predilection for pickled okra, but not fried okra, and I really can't stress that enough, partially because apparently they have a deep aversion to ranch dressing. And that's something that none of us knew, and it was quite remarkable, and we're getting a paper put together to submit next quarter. And we're really looking forward to that. But so they've been working on rebuilding and improving the old Quonset hut that was left out in the middle of the swamp as part of a unspecified government project. And they seem to be pretty happy out there. We also taught them how to grow okra, which honestly is not that hard if you've never grown okra before. I will give you the exact steps. Step one, plant the okra, and step two, get well back. I mean, it's second only to kudzu in the explosive enthusiasm with which it will fill any space that you give it. Thankfully, the zombies are pretty ravenous when it comes to okra, so that's kind of a race between the okra growing and overtaking the Quonset hut and the zombies racing to eat all the okra. Although we do have a nice little side business of zombie-grown pickled okra, although I think we're going to have to rethink our branding on that because for some reason you put the word zombie-grown and pickled okra in onto a label, and well, even if you try to make it a light-hearted and kind of cartoonish, whimsical illustration, it just doesn't seem to come off the shelves fast enough. But that's all right. We're still working on that pretty much, you know. We also discovered that since they're pretty good at putting some improvements on that Quonset hut, we decided to give them a few more tools and see how they could do in the realm of pre-manufactured homes, which is always a very popular industry out here in the county, on a fat count of it's kind of hard to build your own home when you don't have a whole lot to build with. But these zombies are certainly resourceful. They built four or five pre-built homes, and before we noticed that they were using parts from previously built homes, and then we'd had to change the sign to zombie rebuilt previously built homes. And well, we're getting through a situation here. I think we may have to go to court. I'm not entirely certain, but we're certainly working on it. And so, again, one of those things, the other thing about zombies building stuff is pretty much, while they're very good at home improvements, they're not so good at, purpose building from ground up, so to speak. So anything that a zombie builds is kind of an instant fixer-upper, which is kind of interesting because we managed to sell three or four of them to the folks come out of the county and decided they wanted to make some money in real estate. And well, we haven't heard from them for a little while, and I'm pretty sure that the zombies didn't get them. We did tell them about the alligators, and they were very, very amused by the whole prospect of zombie alligators. I'm not sure what that axe bearing that has on things, but we will keep you posted as soon as some part of them turns up again. Speaking of the zombie alligators, we did discover something. They actually, because zombie alligators are alligators that are turned into zombies from eating the zombies. You know, we talked about that earlier, too. There's some kind of circle of life thing going on here, which I'm not entirely certain of. But they also picked up the zombies' predilection for pickled okra and their aversion to ranch dressing and vinegar-based barbecue sauce. That turns out to be very useful because if you take a big enough vat of vinegar-based barbecue sauce, you can pretty much paint a perimeter in the swamp because it sinks down and then it floats at about 4 foot under the water surface. And any zombie alligator that encounters that is immediately motivated to go find something else to do with their time. So that can keep the zombies in and the zombie alligators out during the construction process. One zombie alligator did get out. He had a big old steak knife stuck in his head. Now, he's gained a certain amount of fame on the internet. We like to refer to him as Clive. Clive, the zombie alligator with a knife in his head, and whoever pulls that knife out of his head may very well become king of all England. I'm still doing some research on that, but that's a whole other story in and of itself. The thing about that whole thing, once we got them to kind of got them all kind of tied up and looped around there like that. So we got it all set up. We're still kind of working on what we're going to do with these zombies and what these zombies are consequently going to do with us. We've gotten to a fairly good position with it. We do have regular meetings with the appointed head of the zombies. He has a big hat on, and it doesn't say he's head of the zombies. It kind of says, But we're taking that as meaning he's the foreman of the zombie crew, and we get Grandma up out of the basement and take the bite guard off, and she goes and has afternoon tea with the zombies. And of course, there's still some dialectical issues here because she's not a zombie, she's a revenant, and there is, friends, a difference. But she's actually taken to it quite well, and I think that she's very happy with the apparent elevation in her social status because she's begun to act a little bit fancier. Her groans and shrieks are definitely taking on a more cultured tone, and when she reaches out to grab you by the head so that she can chew your face off, she sticks her little pinky finger up in there, and it's the most adorable, sweet thing I ever seen in my life. We've actually gotten her some lace gloves that if she'll ever stop eating them, she'll look positively darling in those things. And what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? Send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.